to begin reading to you. We've been visiting here in the book of Revelation, first chapter and second chapter. And of course, I've been ministering concerning the Jesus speaking to the seven churches. Jesus speaking to the seven churches. And so the first church is Ephesus, and of course we're still here in the church of Ephesus. So let me go ahead and read to you, and then we'll take off from there. To the and this is Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. I'm reading from the New King James Bible, lampstands. Jesus said, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Hallelujah. That's a good thing, isn't it? And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, again, we talked about this. This was not a lazy church. This was a church that was eager to get the job done. Amen? They were eager to do what God had called them to do. So they were hard workers. But Jesus had to rebuke them, though. He commended them on all the good things that they did. And by the way, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never changes. So Jesus will commend us for all the good things we do. He doesn't forget any of it. I tell people, God keeps good records. Amen. Matter of fact, we're told I'm just not getting anywhere. It just seemed like I'm just not being productive, but I'm doing all I know to do, but just seems like I'm just not making any progress. But that's not the time to quit, is it? Amen. Amen. That's not the time to quit. We're told not to grow weary in well-doing. And the Word of God declares that we shall reap. We shall reap if we don't do what? Faint. Another way of saying that, if you don't quit, if you don't give up, you will reap. God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Some services we're in and we just see a manifestation of the Spirit of God and things happen and we praise God for that. Isn't that right? Amen? But then sometimes it seems kind of quiet. But you know what? that's the time to sit and receive. Receive. You know, when you're at your dinner table, that's your quiet time. You don't eat and then jump up and grab the weights and start lifting weights and then put them down and then go back and take another spoonful and then or either run outside or this is dinner time or this is lunch time. Let's eat our lunch or our dinner. And now we have received the nourishment that we need to go forth. And so that's the way it is in church. Sometimes you just have you got to be in receiving mode. You got to hear the word of God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So you may feel like, well, you know, just not a lot happening with me. I want God to do this, and I want God to do that, and I want God to do the other. But here's what we are to do. We are to do what we know to do. We are to do what we know to do. And the number one thing is to receive the word of God, to hear the word of God. Are y'all with me? Are you with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. I have not once had my automobile start by itself and take off while I was pumping the gas. It waited patiently while I filled it with gasoline, put the cap back on, got inside, started it up, and matched the accelerator. Guess what? It had something to run on. It had something to run on. And that's the problem with many today. They're trying to run, but they don't have anything to run on. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All righty. All right. Let me get back to where I was. So Jesus told him, says, look, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You've left your first love. Verse 5 says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And of course, you know, I could spend weeks on that, because there are things in our lives that we did when we first got saved or when we first got baptized with the Holy Spirit that we no longer do anymore. I don't know about you. How many of you remember when you first got saved, man, you were so excited, man, you just hugging everybody, telling everybody you got saved, and you living for Jesus now, and every time, you know, every time we saw you, you were smiling, you had a big smile on your face, you know, the joy of the Lord was all over you, and maybe you got baptized with the Holy Ghost, and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and you was all excited about that. But said something and you lost your joy. And anytime you and all through the scripture, folks, especially the New Testament, It talks, the Bible talks and sometimes we don't like to talk about that part of the Word of God. But that can hinder our blessings, can't it? Yes, it can. So Jesus would let them know, listen, church, you gotta return to your first love, me, talking about himself, your love for me, your love for fellowship with one another, loving one another. Doing the works is fine. Don't stop doing the works. But return to your first love. Verse 6. But this you have that you hate, the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And Jesus went on to say, which I also hate. Jesus hates sin. He don't hate people, but he hates sins. He don't hate the sinner, but he hates the sin. And let me go ahead and read verse 7 while I'm at it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, we hear Word of Life and every other church need to be listening to what God has to say. We need to learn from what Jesus and the Spirit of God is telling these seven churches. We need to learn from it as well. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcome, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want to talk for a few minutes longer about the fact that this church at Ephesus hated sin. The church loved righteousness, but they hated, in other words, let me put it this way, they hated evil deeds. Are you still with me? And this is the point I want to bring out to you. I didn't bring it out last week, and the Lord just laid this on my heart, so I want to share it with you. And this is very elementary, but we need to continue to hear it. We need to know who we really are. And as I look out at you, my question to you then is, who are you anyway? Who are you? And do, you know, the question, and I know most of you know who you are because you've been sitting under the Word a long time. But some don't. Some watching the live stream don't. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. The 5th chapter. Because there's some things that we must know and act upon if we're going to live a victorious life. Got to know this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now remember, this church at Ephesus, they hated evil deeds and things of the world. Even those that claimed to be whole certain positions in ministry, like apostles or whatever, they found them liars. They didn't go along with that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, very familiar verse, it says, therefore, if anyone, you see that, anyone? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creature or new creation. Now grab a hold of that. Don't let that slip. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What else does it say? Old things have passed away. Finish that verse. Behold, all things have become new. So let's understand something right now. If you are born again, if we're born again, yes, we are in the world. But we are not of the world. And we are not supposed to act like the world. We shouldn't think like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, because we are not of the world. The Bible says that we are a brand new creation. Now, get a hold of that. The Bible says that we are a brand new creation. That's the reason we have the term, biblical term, born again. Born again. It's not a physical rebirth. It is a spiritual rebirth. All righty. We need to know who we are. Now, let's flip backwards to the 17th chapter of the book of John. Here's what I'm getting at. When we are born again, we're no longer of the world. Now, we can act worldly, or as I heard another minister put it, squirrely, whatever that means. But if we're born again, we are not of the world. Now, do you have John chapter 17? All right. I want you to follow along with me. And I think you'll see why I'm reading all this by the time I finish. Now, in John 17, Jesus prays. He prays for his disciples. And he also prays for all those who would believe on him in the generations to come. Everyone that would believe on him, he prayed for them. Let me stop right there just a moment. Think about this just a minute. In John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying, he was praying for you. He was praying for me. Don't you ever forget that. Now, verse 14. Well, verse 13. Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now look at verse 14. This is what Jesus said, was saying as he was praying. I have given them your word. What did he give us? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Why do you, folk get all upset just because the world don't like them? The world don't like you because you're not of the world. The world don't like you because you expose what they're doing. Your light walks into their darkness. So I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not what? Say, I am not of the world.
I am not of the world.
They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And he goes on to say, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. How many of you know he's a keeper? They are what? Not of the world, as I am not of the world. What I'm emphasizing here to you, brothers and sisters, is this. We must see ourselves as believers. We must know that we are not of the world. You got to learn that first before you change the way you talk, before you change the way you act, before you change the things you do. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then listen to what he says. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Anybody know what sanctify means? Say what? To be set apart. To be set apart. One type of sanctification is when you got saved, when we got saved. When we got saved, we just read it. When we got saved, we became a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things became new. That was part of our sanctification. But we have to sanctify ourselves through the hearing and obedience of the Word of God. Did y'all grab that? Amen. Folk need to know you're saved by how you act, by how you talk, by what you do or don't do. So Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Let me read on a little further. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And I love verse 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Oh, hallelujah. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. It boils down to this. How are the world ever going to believe in Jesus if we are acting like the world, if we're acting like the devil? Amen. Verse 21 again, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Say, Lord, I receive your glory. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. I want to read this one. This blessed me. Father, I desire. Now, this is Jesus praying for you now and for me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, glory to God. The Apostle John says, we don't know what we shall be, but one thing we do know, when we'll see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Are you still here? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, quickly, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This is God's instruction to us, to the church. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. If you're reading from the King James Bible, it says, be followers of God as dear children. And listen to what it says. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And then immediately after that, I won't read all this, but you can read it later. But immediately after that, after he said, be imitators of God, be followers of God, as dear children, walk in love as Christ has loved us. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't walk away from your first love. But then in verse 3, it says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. In other words, what the Word of God says, saints shouldn't live that way. I have to ask you a question. Do you hate sin? Now, I'm not talking about people. I'm not talking about sinners. But do you hate sin? If we hate the sin, then we are not going to participate in the sin. Now, I know we hear a lot, and it is true. It is very true. God understands that we are weak. He understands that we make mistakes. That's the reason 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. Okay? He understands that we make mistakes, but that's not an excuse to do it. And you may say, well, Pastor, why are you ministering on that because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to hear it. We need, folks, we need to read the Bible. The Bible is full of faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. Amen? Right? Without faith, we cannot please God. So we must walk by faith. We've got to walk by faith. We've got to walk. Let me say that again. We must walk by faith and not walk by sight. That's what I meant to say. We must walk by faith and not walk by sight. Is that in the Bible? Amen. We are to love one another and treat each other right. Is that in the Bible? We are not to fornicate, commit adultery, get involved in uncleanliness. Is that in the Bible? I said, is that in the Bible? So we can't pick and choose what we want. We can't go through and say, well, I disagree with that, and scratch it out or tear that page out. We cannot do that. And you'll find, and as we go on down the line, some of the other churches, I tell you what, Jesus let them have it because of their lifestyles. What am I saying? Lifestyle is important to God. And we are living in the very last of the last days, folks. Oh, my. And that's the reason we must preach. All preachers should preach the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God. If your heart is broken, God can heal your heart, and he will heal your heart if you'll come to him. If you're lost, he'll save you. But when we come to him, we need to feed on his word and learn more about him so that we can reflect who Jesus Christ really is. Be followers of God. Be imitators of God as dear children. That's what children do. They follow their parent. They imitate their parent. I can't raise my hand and shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord, I love Jesus. And then I leave church and go play in the devil's backyard. There is a thing called repentance. Do y'all think I'm being mean? There is a thing called repentance. But here's the good thing about it. God will help you. If a person, I'll just use this as an example. If a person is addicted to pornography and they truly want to be free and they surrender their lives to the Lord, God will deliver them. He may use someone else to pray with you. I don't know how he'll do it, but I'm here to tell you, you can be free. Are you listening to me? You can be free. Jesus came to set us free, didn't he? He didn't come to leave us in bondage. But you just don't understand this habit I got. You don't understand this habit I got. Well, like I said, you may need somebody to pray with you, lay hands on you, or whatever. Maybe. But I'm here to tell you that the power of God is available to set you free. Amen. Amen. Some of you that I'm looking at in here, you exes. You had ex habits. Ex addictions. But God set you free. But you gotta wanna be free. And you got to be serious about your walk with the Lord. Amen. If you addict, I'm just using porn as an example. If you're addicted to porn and you want to be free, God will set you free. But then he don't expect for you to go back down to the strip joint and watch them dance. You follow what I'm saying? Because what happened, you may be free, but you're going to slowly slip back into your old way of living. And let me tell you, sometimes when you slip back, it's worse than it was the first time. There's a thing called repentance. There's a thing called hating sin, not people, but hating sin. There's a thing called, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm giving you my everything. I'm giving you my everything. Amen. Okay, I'm about to run out of time here. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to read you one other thing, then we're going to quit. 1 Peter, go to 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. You got to know who you are. First Peter, 2nd chapter. Listen to what Peter says. He says, but you, this is verse 2nd chapter, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Talking about the church, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of what? He called us out of what? He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now listen at the instruction that he gives us. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, that's what we are in this world, abstain from what? Now is that in the Bible? Abstain from fleshly lust, which does what? Which war against the soul. Having your conduct, what? Honorable among the Gentiles. That's those that are unsaved. That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your what? Now, look, you all tore up and doing everything you think you're big enough to do. Do you think the world is going to be convicted by your works? No. that they may by your good works, which they observe, do what? When? Hallelujah. I've heard people say of others, and I've actually had them come to me, tell me, say, I just want you to know something. I used to watch you. And not all of them were saved yet. Some of them are. But they tell me, I used to watch you. I heard what you said, but I watched your life. And they would make statements like, you're for real, or he's for real, or she's for real, because I watched them. See, there's more than one way to witness. You witness with your mouth by preaching the gospel and sharing Jesus, but you also witness by your life. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I went a little longer and a little further than I intended to, but it's all good. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. May our lifestyle bring glory and honor to your name. May we understand who we are, that we are the people of the living God. We are in the world.